So in today's gospel, there's a couple of key phrases here. It says there was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So the words are, in order to test Jesus. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's being a bad guy. Maybe he just wants to see, does this guy have his chops? You know, does he actually know what he's talking about? Because he asks him a question that any serious rabbi should know the answer to. There were hundreds and hundreds of regulations in the Jewish law, and he's saying, okay, out of all of this, I don't remember, like 652 or whatever it was, rules, what's the key? And Jesus turns it around. He says, okay, you're a teacher of the law, you tell me. So he says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Which was the classic answer, the famous Shema Israel at the very beginning of the law, was, hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And then Jesus famously was known to add the second part, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was also in there, but I think Jesus was the first time anyone ever connected those two. This guy must have heard Jesus preach that, or must have heard about it, because he gave him the right answer. Jesus says, look, you already know. Why are you asking me? And the truth is, the same thing happens with us. The reality is, being holy is not that complicated. It's difficult, but it's not too complicated. It's kind of like running a marathon. Okay, what goes into running a marathon? You got to do a lot of training. Except, I mean, the actual process of running a marathon, how complicated is it? Well, you put on your shoes and you start running. And until you've gone 26 whatever miles it is, you keep running. That's all there is to it. Is it easy? No. Would I even consider doing it? No. I mean, I've walked that far, but running that? Forget it. But, I mean, complicated, there's not a whole lot to it. It's like, okay, I'm at mile number 10, we'll keep going. Okay, that's all there is. Holiness is like that. Holiness realistically comes down to loving. That's all you need. Is it easy? No. But it's not a complicated process. So, the reason, then it says, the scribe says, okay, well, who is my neighbor? Because he wants to justify himself again. And this is where things get complicated. Because a lot of times when we think about loving God, it's sometimes hard to quantify. Do I really love God? If you're going to calculate, how do I know if I love God or not? The answer most of us would come up with would be something along the lines of, okay, how many prayers do I pray? You know, do I fast? Do I pray? Do I make some sacrifices? Do I go to church? Do I do the religious stuff? Do I follow the rules? And all of those things are good. But the reality is, the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus was always complaining about followed the rules to a T. That's what they did for a living, was they followed the rules. And they still didn't get what was essential to the faith. Probably, I'm going to tell you something. I wonder how many of you follow all of these. How many of you say some prayers every day, fast at least once a week, give 10% of your alms. Now, this is when the head goes down, the feet start going, it's like, 10% of my alms? Yeah, 10% of your alms, at least something. Okay? Not that that means like $2 in the back, you know, it's like, sometimes, when I was doing youth ministry, it's like the guys would ask me, okay, how much do I need to give in order to, you know, it's like, look, if you treated your girlfriend like that, she would dump you so fast. It's like, you didn't even buy her some fries at McDonald's, and this is what you give to the church in a month. It's like, come on, you at least need to give me something like, what would you, take your girlfriend out on a regular date, not, I'm like, okay, like a movie or something like that. What is that? Okay, that's a good indication. Am I making some kind of sacrifice, right? Now, are all these things good? Yeah. But I'll tell you something. Everything I just mentioned, I guarantee your regular Talibani does. Taliban terrorists, do they pray every day? Yeah. Look, what do they pray, like 4 or 5 times a day, something like that? Do they fast? Yeah. Do they tithe? Yes. Do they do all that stuff that we just said? Yes. Do you think they're holy? Do you see love of neighbor in a guy that goes around blowing people up for a living? They miss the boat. And the truth is, you and I can very easily be Catholic Taliban. We can miss the boat. And this is why Jesus ties together the love of God. If you really want to know if you love God, who you do not see, then we need to know, we need to be men and women who love our neighbor. So the guy asks again, who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus tells him a story. He says, there's a man who is walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he essentially gets mugged. It's like walking through the Bronx. You're walking from Yankee Stadium, walking, not driving, not taking a train. Yeah, from the neighborhood where you grew up, yeah. Walking through the Bronx, and you're walking from Yankee Stadium to, I don't know what, up Grand Concourse, and you get jumped, okay? Same thing happened. He's walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he gets mugged. Now, there's a symbolism that's happening here. Jerusalem is a city built on a hill. And in the scripture, it always refers to Jerusalem as way up high. It's 2,474 feet above sea level, to be precise. Okay, I don't know where you have to be standing to be exactly set 2,474, but you get the point. Basically 2,500 feet above sea level, you're in Jerusalem. Jericho, on the other hand, is actually one of the lowest points in the planet. It is 908 feet below sea level, which is about as far below sea level as you can get without being underwater. The Dead Sea, which is just down the river, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles, less, 15 miles maybe, is the lowest point below sea level that is not actually underwater in the entire world. So there's a symbolism that when you are leaving Jerusalem, a lot of times you'll see things in the Bible, somebody's walking away with Jerusalem to their back. It's a symbol that they are losing their faith. They're walking away from God. They're leaving the city of God behind. And when you're walking to Jericho, Jericho is symbolically like the city of sin. And it happens to be way down there. And the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, basically you come over some mountains and through a desert. That's where John the Baptist used to hang out. And there's nothing there. And it was a dangerous highway. People used to get mugged. This guy is walking there. He's leaving the city of God behind. He gets mugged. It's a symbol for what Satan does to us, original sin. We get left half dead. And on the road is, so he's sitting there bleeding. And all of a sudden, down the road comes a priest. Now, this was not a Catholic priest. The only Catholic priest in the world at that point in time went by the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, our Lord and Savior. He was the only one. He hadn't yet ordained the apostles. He's walking down the road, and he does the same thing that a lot of us do when we're in Manhattan, and you know that either A, there's some seedy-looking characters, or B, there's somebody who's going to ask me for money. He crosses the street. He just crosses the street, goes to the other side of the road. He does it for a reason. Not because he doesn't want to be inconvenienced, but because he doesn't want to be ritually impure. This guy who is a sinner, who has been mugged by sinners and is there bleeding because of the Jewish laws, if they would have picked him up, and he would have become ritually impure. What happened? According to their code of conduct, they didn't want to become like unholy. And they missed the point. They followed the rules and all that, and they miss the entire point, which is that the law is there to teach us how to love them. They leave the guy sitting there. And then down the road comes a Levite, another professional of the law, and he does the same thing for the same reason. He sees him, he says, oh, I don't want to get contaminated. Stay away from this guy, and he leaves him. And then some Samaritan, which in the Jewish mentality means half-breed heretic. That's what, if you're a Samaritan, it means you're a half-breed Jew and you're heretical. This guy, of all people, probably couldn't care less about being impure because the Jewish already considered him to be impure by his very birth. This is the guy who comes along and shows mercy. He understands the meaning behind the law. Strange that Jesus would associate himself with that. The Jewish people, Jesus associates himself with a Samaritan. They're like, what, are you crazy? He does. Okay, so what does Jesus teach us here? The others, well, basically, he's showing us that our faith without love of neighbor is dead. A religion that does not make us love our neighbor is dead. And secondly, then he teaches us, well, who the heck is our neighbor? Which was the original question of this guy. He says, your neighbor is whoever needs it. Your neighbor is whoever out there needs love. Which basically means everybody. There's not a single human being out there who does not need love. St. Paul went so far as to say that the entire law and the prophets is summarized in one rule. You will love your neighbor as yourself. He actually even went further than Jesus. Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. St. Paul summarized it and said, the entire law and prophets is summarized in love your neighbor as yourself. Why is that? Well, St. John teaches us the reason. St. John, in one of his letters, says God is love. Doesn't say God is loving. Doesn't say God loves you more than anybody else in the world. He says God is, by essence, by definition. He is love. And if you do not have love, you absolutely do not, you cannot have God. That's what he is. So again, what does it mean then to love? Well, Thomas Aquinas, I keep on whipping out the saints. This is how I look very educated. Well, I mean, if you study, spend half your life studying to get ready for the priesthood, you at least got to know something, right? Okay. St. Thomas Aquinas, a medieval theologian, considered by many the greatest theologian of all time, just saying. In my words, he basically says, to love is to seek the good, the well-being of the other person for their own sake. So it's not like I'm going to give you $1 million in the hopes that you will return half of it to me. You know, I will get somehow convince the U.S. government, hey, we can do a Ponzi scheme here, and I'll get you some money, but then I get a cut. No, that wouldn't be love. You might like the money, but it wouldn't be because I loved you. Okay? To love is to look for the well-being of the other person for their own sake. Parents get this. Parents do it all the time. Okay, I'm sorry, small children, of whom there are many in this church, but realistically, you don't do a whole lot for your parents. Your parents work and feed you and cook and do your laundry, and when you were little kids, you know, changed your diapers and all that. I have yet to see any of you go out and get a 9-to-5 job and work and take care of your parents. I mean, maybe hopefully you'll do some of that later, but right now, your parents do that, and they're happy to do that for you because they love you. Okay? That is the nature of love. For your well-being, somebody looks at you and says, I love you, you are worth my trouble. And that means for there to be love, we have to be at least willing to have skin in the game. The Samaritan here, what did he do? He looks and says, oh, this poor guy, better call 911 and let somebody pick him up. He didn't call an Uber. Even if they had, you know, Magic Camel or whatever come out. He said, look, picks him up with his own arms, which is not easy. It's like having some guy who's stumbling drunk, you know, trying to pick that up. Okay, this guy's almost dead, manages to pick him up, gets him on his own mule, gets all dirty and nasty in the process, I'm sure. Brings him to wherever the closest town was, and frankly, I've done the trip between Jerusalem and Jericho. There's nothing there. It's a desert. So he probably either went to Jerusalem or Jericho. I'm not sure which direction. Gets him to a hotel, forks out his own money, says, take care of the guy, I will come back in a few days, and if you need more, I will give it to you. This guy had skin in the game. This guy truly loved. Now, what does that mean for you and me? I do not believe it is very likely that you're going to be walking down the streets of Armonk, and you're going to see somebody, who had just recently been mugged and is sitting on the sidewalk bleeding as you're going to get your bees cake cookies or whatever, okay? But are there people who need you? Yeah. It could be your spouse. You know, if your spouse comes home from work and is tired and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it is probably not the best way to make him feel great to start nagging him and complaining about all the things that he didn't do that he should have done, okay? It could be your sibling, it could be your children, it could be the people you work with, it could be the kids you go to school with. Okay, what does it look like? It could look like, does somebody need a smile? Mother Teresa put a lot of value on simply smiling and not showing the fact that you might feel horrible. You don't need to let the entire world know how bad you feel. You know, simply sharing a smile can be a great act of love, especially when you don't feel like doing it. How about picking up in the kitchen? How about, you know, folding some of your own laundry or doing things around the house? Or, famously, if there's somebody who needs money, actually forking some out and helping them. You're not coming up with all the excuses why we can't. Now, understandably, if you think they're going to just buy drugs or something, well, then you got to be a little circumspect, okay? But there's any time we look and we see, where is there a need? How can I address this need out of love? If we do that, we know that we are living the gospel. And if we're not able to do that, whatever illusions we may have about our own holiness, we're not living it. We may be the next version of Catholic Taliban, fulfilling all kinds of rules and doing all kinds of little sacrifices and not loving our neighbor and finding out at our judgment, you know what? We missed the boat. So anyway, let us each look for, you know, in our day-to-day life then, what are the ways that I can share love with the people who need it? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.